This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Big Bear Mark.
This is Luke the Wonder Cub.
And this is a podcast for Brekkie Bears
on Joy 94.9.
You're on the Brekkie Bears with Mark and Luke, and Luke, we are very, very lucky indeed to get Adore Delano on the line. Hello, Adore.
Hi.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
You've been so busy. You've been touring Australia, and you're finally in Melbourne. How you been handling the tour?
As you mentioned earlier, like, I'm a little hoarse. It's just, like, it's kind of nonstop work, right? But Your
schedule here is absolutely nuts. You're Melbourne on Thursday, Adelaide on Friday, and then you're back to Melbourne on Saturday.
Yeah, they had to add another show because I'm so cool.
Exactly. You are. And look, and of course, you're a Liberan, and I just want to say, we share a birthday.
My birthday is September 29th.
Mine's September 29th as well. I think that's so cool.
Oh my gosh, you're like sister.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys are meant to be. That's so cute.
I know. I love it. I love the fact. Now, you grew up in Azusa, California?
Yeah, you got it right.
And what was it like growing up in Azusa, California?
See, Azusa is like a small suburban city right outside of like Hollywood area. So we're technically L.A. County, which is kind of like in the middle of the Inland Empire and Hollywood. So it's kind of like a small town, so everybody like knows each other. There's not really much there, but like a bunch of like cool Mexican people that go to church every Sunday.
Right.
I came out of the closet when I was like 12 years old, so it was kind of like the talk of the town gay kid, and everybody was kind of confused of why I was so comfortable with who I was. they're like, why doesn't he like hide it?
Wow. And I believe by the age of 14 you were actually singing in Hollywood competitions in drag.
Oh yeah, well I would compete in these like radio pop shows and stuff like that, like, and they would think I was like a little girl, and I was like, no, I have a penis. And then like we would do like these Christian colleges actually in my city. And because they were the only singing competitions that were, like, within reach. And I would win them, and they would, like, try to put me in the girls category. And I'd be like, no, I'm a boy. Like,
Now, I believe your mother convinced you to go on to American Idol back in 2008.
Yeah, well, she was, like, convincing me to be, like, more, like cut my hair and kind of, like, don't wear makeup and take your nails off, like, all this stuff. So I kind of, like, had to be, like, a boy to do that, but I'm more like, I like gender bending and stuff like that, like, especially with my drag, like I think it's cool sometimes to just go out in boy underwear and have your junk just chilling there with like a cool beat face.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, obviously you were on Drag Race with Courtney, and were you at all jealous that she got to go on Australian Idol as a girl?
No, not really. See, like, I didn't want to like do like the drag route. Like, I wanted to kind of be like Pete Burns is one of my like idols, so it's like, it's kind of like I was more like his route. It was kind of like, is she like transgender, is she this, like, is it a boy or a girl? It's very kind of like in the middle of like kind of playing the role of both, you know.
I mean, I did read online that your mother actually talked you out of doing drag, but it sounds like it was more a mutual decision.
No, see, when I would perform, I was, like, basically living my life as a girl, right?
Right. So
when I tried to audition for American Idol, she told me to, like, butch it up. I wanted to keep it, but not, like, I didn't wear dresses and stuff like that. I wore full-on makeup, nails, and I was kind of, like, punky.
So it was more androgynous than anything else, yeah.
It's not like the Courtney route where it's, like, a full-on wig and, like I had, like, long hair.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I mean, you got there was a little incident on American Idol with Simon Cowell that became quite famous. It was the some people weren't liking it.
I know. Well, because I was just like offended by him. Like, I mean, like all Hollywood Week, like he was like telling me like I was his favorite, and then he just became, like, really mean on the live show. So I was just like, okay. And I, like, bawled my eyes out after that. It was, like, hilarious.
Oh, well, you did come 13th place in Idol.
Yeah.
But, you know, you went on and, I mean, you did numerous television interviews after that. You did The Soup, you did Ellen, and even Rosie O'Donnell invited you to perform on her Our Family Vacation Cruise as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she does. She's really amazing.
Is it true, because I don't know if it is or not, that you were at a performance of by Raven from Drag Race, of course, at Mickey's Nightclub in West Hollywood, and that's where Adore was born?
Yeah, I mean, I would go to, like, drag shows and stuff like that. And, like, I seen, like, a proper drag show, and I was like, I can do that. And then, like, I auditioned for a show that Raven was actually hosting, and I won that night, and then they ended up putting me in their cast. And then Morgan McMichael seen me, and a lot of the Drag Race girls seen me. So I was working with the Drag Race girls, like, right off. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I got a quote from your website, which I absolutely love. It says, drunk in a local bar, one glorious full moon night, Adora and her friends decided that they're okay with not fitting in with the other fishes. In the clubs, they decided that they'd rather be mermaids. They said, as mermaids, we don't fit in with other fish in the sea. We give no Fs about and no apologies. Mermaids are sweet and beautiful creatures who always dare to be different. The more you tell us to swim one way, we'll go in the opposite direction. I just love that.
Yeah.
Has that sort of been your ethos ever since? It's like...
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, like, when I first started drag, I had a friend named Courtney Caliente, and we would just call ourselves, like, mermaids, because the girls, like, they use the term fishy, and they're like, we're fish, and we're just like, we don't even understand that term. We're like, we eat fish, we're not fish. So we're just like, we're mermaids, like forget that. And then we started saying that, and then when I was younger, I really, like, thought I was transgendered, and I did research, and it's research that, like, young kids, when they're transgender growing up, they're attracted to mermaids because there's no genitalia below the waist, and I was completely obsessed with mermaids, so it's kind of, like, been my thing since I was younger, and I thought it would be neat to incorporate that into, like, you know, like, making it feel like we're all one without anything.
Yeah, so it's like there's no stereotypes. It's just like we're all one community. We're just all one people.
We all have a heart and eyes, and that's it.
That's exactly right. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Drag Race, obviously, season 6. That, now, you found out about December 2013 that you were going to go on to that season, but you'd actually gone up for season 5 in the fan vote as well, didn't you?
Yeah. They had decided that it was not my time. They had sent me an email and told me that I need to cook for a little while. They gave it to Penetration, and then I made it the next season.
Exactly. And you didn't have to go through the fan thing the next season, did you?
No, I didn't. No. What was funny was they were already telling me, because you take psych tests, like you take tests for the show and stuff like that, and the girls on the show were like, if you get the psych test, then you're completely, like, that's, like, a really good sign. So they were telling me I need to take the psych test, and then I entered the fan vote anyway. So I was, like, I was basically on the show already when I entered the fan vote. So it was cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, with the show, there are media blackouts, and you actually have to go and... Do you live in a hotel or something like that? What's the situation when you get on the show?
Oh, it's awful. Like, I mean... The thing is like, we have to stay in our hotel rooms. They're, like, taped shut. We have no communication with each other. We can't go, like, on the balcony. We can't do anything. The phones are taken from our rooms. We can't do anything. And if we need something, we slip a note underneath the door. And it's just, it's very that. But I have to, like, completely be honest. They treat you so well there. It's a family environment. That's just for, like, basically... They told us, like, Willa messed that up for us because she would always break the rules. But as it pertains to, like, the set and everybody, they're such a family environment and they treat you so well and they're always, like, accommodating and just beautiful people. So I'm very grateful for them.
Awesome. And now I want to talk about as well, one of our favorite episodes, one of those favorite episodes from most RuPaul fans would be the Snatch Game episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I think you famously had one of the most popular Snatch Game episodes of all time with your Anna Nicole Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So how often, obviously you knew Snatch Game was coming up, so you must have had that practiced, or was Anna Nicole Smith always a big inspiration for you?
Oh, yeah. I used to do her playing around, like, for my mom and her friends, like, when they'd be drunk home from the bar when I was younger. Like, I mean, I would just, like, sit around and, like do, like, different characters, and Anna Nicole Smith was definitely one of them. She's always been, like, an inspiration to me for some reason. I've always been attracted to, like, tragic beauties of, like, Hollywood and or just tragic beauties in general. Like, they've always, like, inspired me. The misunderstood tragic beauties, like, she was basically like this country bumpkin that no one understood, and she was like spit on all her life and told that she wasn't going to be anything, and she used what she had and took advantage of it and like made something out of it, regardless if people like agree with it or not. She still made a living for her and her son, you know.
Yeah, I think that's why it connected so well with the viewers as well, because you did seem like you were connected to her on some level. It wasn't just acting as somebody else. It really felt like you were channeling her in a way.
Yeah. No, completely. I've studied her as a kid. I remember for Christmas, my mom got me her DVD set, and I was, like, so excited. Like, I love her.
Awesome.
That's brilliant. Now, someone who probably isn't misunderstood, I just want to talk about Michelle Visage for a second. Mm-hmm. What was her in the corset? I mean, that was a big deal on the show, wasn't it?
It's a big deal on the show. See, we entered the show to be judged. I didn't really feel, like, offended or anything. Like, I could throw back at her a little bit and play around, but I mean, we know what we're signing up for. They're trying to refine your drag and kind of polish you up and stuff. And just not so much that, just to see if you listen and apply it to yourself while still being true to who you are. But now it's a different story, you see, because when we travel with Michelle, she still tries to tell me, like, how to dress and stuff. And I'm like, now I'm going to do it even more. So, like, in New York, I wore, like, boy underwear, and like I stripped naked, and like I had no shirt, like no boobs, nothing on, and she was so like she just doesn't get it. She's from a different
she would have been horrified, wouldn't she?
She was so horrified because she's from a different time, to where like she's from like the ball scene where things are like more polished and they're supposed to look a different way. You're not supposed to kill the illusion, but drag's evolving, and in drag there's no rules, like, at all, in my opinion.
Awesome. Now, one thing also, a big part of the season that you're on with RuPaul's Drag Race, was, of course, your relationship with Laganja Estranja.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was obviously a massive moment there. Also, there was a big breakdown that happened in Untucked. And then, of course, there was a bit of a breakdown that was shown when there was the finale as well, where you guys met up again and watched that footage. How is the relationship with Laganja now?
It's very interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic between her and I, because before this show we were really cool. She has a very competitive energy. She was one of my really good friends. Now it's we support each other and we love each other. I mean, like, I respect her, but we're not really that close anymore, and it's really sad. And I think, regardless if I agreed with them filming us crying on camera like that and or not, I think that really showed the viewers it's kind of like a death of a friend in a way, because it's kind of like it was kind of like something so like she didn't get what she was doing, and I was told that she did, and then when we got there she was still not getting that, like, she was coming off a different way, and she was still kind of backing it up with like, that's who I am. And it kind of just made me, like, push myself away a little bit from her and not want anything to do with that, because that's not who I knew. But, yeah, we're cordial. We work together sometimes, yeah. But I'm just not that close with her.
Yeah, and it must have been hard for you. I mean, watching it was quite uncomfortable. I can't imagine how hard that would have been going through watching that footage with her right next to you and actually having to deal with that. That must have been really difficult.
Especially the one on the finale. As a viewer, it really felt uncomfortable.
It was really uncomfortable, and I was told that she was basically going to apologize, and she kind of seen herself and agreed and all this stuff, and it was going to be like kind of that kind of deal. But when that happened, that wasn't the case.
It so just kept going, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done in my life.
Wow. Talking about uncomfortable things you had to do during the show, how's the sewing going?
The sewing?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Well, not so good.
Just, you still got the glue gun happening?
No, it's not happening. Maybe after all these damn tours I could do it.
Yeah. And of course you made the final three with Bianca and Courtney. Of course, Courtney's a little bit beloved in this country, of course. Have you seen Bianca and Courtney since the show? And how's your relationship with those guys?
I was with Courtney last night. She was with me, shooting my video with me in Sydney.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, she's one of my best friends now. Like, I seriously, her and Bianca are brilliant. Like, Bianca, Courtney, Darian, and I were just on tour, like around Canada, and we're doing tours like in Chicago and all this stuff, and we're going back soon, but we've been spending a lot of time together, like, doing all the prides for New York and D.C. and everything, so it's really, great to be around them, because they're just such a good energy, and we were just talking, actually, Courtney and I, about how, like, lucky we are, because it's, like, we feel like we are, like, the first season that actually all love each other, like, the top four, like, we literally, like, spend the night in each other's beds and, like, don't want to leave, and it's, like, I don't really see that with any of the other seasons, you know, like a genuine connection.
That's fantastic. That's really nice when you get that rapport with your people you work with, and it's really fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, just one little question here. Like, one last question about Drag Race. Is there any gossip you can give us that's sort of behind the scenes that we didn't see? Was there anything, I don't know, a bit juicy?
I mean, there was a fight with Milk and I that they didn't air, that I was kind of like, I wondered why they didn't air that.
Oh, wow, what happened with Milk?
Oh, well, during the Rusical, I don't know if you remember, like, I had those, like, gold wings.
Yes.
Okay, well, they had metal bars in them, and during rehearsal, like, I kept having to fall, and they were, like, stabbing me, like, in the side, so I was like, I don't want to use these. So, of course, like, there's some, like, weird energy that Milk was giving me, like, since she's got there. Like, it was, like, she was sweet, but it was kind of, like, condescending. Like, she kind of looked at me like I didn't belong there, which I didn't really understand because I got her drag and I just wanted her, like, kind of get mine. But we were in Untucked, and then Gia and Milk and Laganja walk in from the other room, and, of course, Gia. I was like, I'm just going to tell you because you're my sister. She was talking about you in the other room. And I was like, well, what did you say, like, to Milk? And then she was just saying, like, oh, I just said that, like, you were making excuses because you weren't doing that good in the challenge or whatever. And then then we kind of went at it. Like, I went at her. But it was just like, kind of like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, since Drag Race, you've gone on and done some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Till Death Do Us Party, number 3 hit on the US dance charts. Uh-huh. You've had 3 amazing singles from it, DTF, I Adore You, and Party. By the way, I absolutely love I Adore You, and the film clip is amazing. Uh-huh. And the film clip for Party is amazing as well.
Oh, thank you.
So now, did you write those songs? How much influence on the album did you have?
Yeah, the album was number 1 for 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. I co-wrote the whole album. Some of them I wrote more than most. Some of them I wrote more than the others, but I co-wrote it with Ashley Levy, who's an awesome, like, writer that works with Killingsworth. Productions, so they're awesome, and I just really wanted to have, like, a part of, like, the writing process and like the art aspect of it, because I wanted it to be my words and kind of, like, my feel, because when I don't write music, I'm not connected with it. Like, there's some songs on the album that she had more writing with, and, like, I when I perform them live, it's like it's kind of like I like performing shit that, like, I wrote, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you perform your songs at your concert at the Greyhound?
I perform my house, my concert. I mean, sorry, I haven't slept. I'm like,
no, you're right. You're right. we can edit this. Don't worry.
I perform my songs live, like, everywhere I go.
That's fantastic.
Now, and what's it like as well? So obviously, you know, the whole drag thing is, you know, connected directly to lip syncing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be, you know, a drag queen who actually, you know, has the ability to sing and have that extra talent and be able to actually sing live on stage? And that, how have you found that?
I think it's awesome. I mean, I think it's definitely like an advantage to be more intimate with the audience and kind of like, yeah, it's way different when you're that intimate with an audience where you can like use your voice and your vocals and incorporate them and talk to them and just kind of like just make them feel a part of it, you know? Like I think it's awesome too. I've seen one of Courtney's shows and she does the same. I think it's very interesting and cool. And which is why I think a lot of people relate to the top three so much is because we all do live work. Like Bianca does her stand up, Courtney does her live, and I do my live, and it's very personal and kind of intimate, so I think that's neat.
Wonderful.
Also, just with the drag industry in America and Australia, I actually think they're quite different. Because in America, am I right in saying you virtually work for tips during the show?
No, not necessarily. We get paid, but we get tipped as well. Like, we'll get paid like $200 and then we'll get tipped.
Are you finding that a bit strange that Australians don't tip?
No, I actually love it. See, I was talking to my mom before I came here because I heard that you guys don't tip, and I think it's great because if you're getting paid, it's like I don't realize that. Like, I almost feel like, not degraded, but I feel like almost like a prostitute. Like, it's like if I'm on stage and I'm like singing, like, I don't want to be like, well, I'm like in, like, performing like in the moment, like I don't want to be taking dollars. It like makes me feel like I'm poor. Like I'm just like I'm singing. I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, I appreciate it, and it's a lovely gesture because it kind of like they want to say like, yeah, I tipped her and stuff like that. But it's like they get mad at me like because like when I've been touring around America a lot, they're like, you never get your tips. You have like $100 worth of tips that you're not getting. I'm just like, no, like, I just want to leave now.
Yeah. Now, there was a little bit of controversy earlier in the week. I saw a picture of you on Facebook in your Brisbane hotel room surrounded by cash, and you took it down, and you said that there was some negative comments.
They literally, like, tore me apart. Like, I don't understand what it was. Like, the thing is, we were traveling in Texas, and my money got soaked, and, like, we laid it out in the hotel. And that was for my merchandise that we've sold and from tips and stuff like that. And we didn't have a chance to drop it off at home before we came to Australia because we've been on the road. So we had it all in my suitcase. So we're just like, we have to lay it out so we can dry it. And then we were laughing. We're like, what kind of like, it looks like we robbed a bank. So like we had an American flag from a 4th of July like show that I did. And I was like, my money, or I'm poor in Australia, because like you guys don't like have like you don't take American money, so it was kind of like funny to us.
Yeah.
And then everybody was just like going hard, just like calling me tacky and saying that like I'm bragging. I'm like, first of all, it was like $1,000 and like ones and tens, like it was not like $1,000,000. It just looked like stacks of hundreds. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I was wondering what all the fuss was about, to be honest.
Yeah, no, they were, like, going in, like, this is why you didn't win, like, you're so this, and blah, 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 like, stupid American.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, my God.
Well, hopefully your experience in Australia has been a lot better since then.
Oh, no, it was mostly people from America but yeah. I got a few that were like, you're a stupid American, like, blah, blah.
Very good, very good. So what's next for Adore Delano?
I mean, just working my butt off. I mean, we're going to be doing a new album towards the end of the year. And just nonstop work. I mean, we've got like gigs already like in 2015 that are lined up, and I'm really excited to just continue working and working on my new album and kind of like revolutionizing and kind of work like developing and seeing what the next chapter is in Adore and see what's going to happen with that.
All right. Well, we have to thank In the Dark Productions for bringing you out to Australia, of course.
Oh, my gosh. They're amazing. Yes.
Fantastic. And also, just a personal thank you, Adore, for letting us talk to you this afternoon. You've been absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, of course, Death Till Us Part...
Till Death Do Us Party.
Thank you, Luke.
That's okay.
Is available iTunes and regular channels, I'm assuming, Adore?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so get your hands on it. I mean, as I said, I absolutely love some of the things, singles. I Adore You, which is my personal favourite. We will be playing in a second. And once again, thank you very much, Adore Delano.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is how it ends, never meant to hurt you. I'm a pretty mess and I don't deserve you. I ran out of time and second chances. Sorry, couldn't build your white picket fences. Everybody says that you're doing fine now. Cruising for a thrill like I wouldn't find out. When you turn it back, do you ever wonder if we could have tomorrow in Technicolor? Left to say. Cause every time I see you, it's like all I am is see through you. But everything I know, it don't wanna miss it. Record it. I adore you. 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 The falling out was easy, but I hate that you don't beat me. And it gets so hard to speak every time you get to me. Cause I adore you. I adore you.
Being a podcast for the Brekkie Bears on Joy 94.9.
If you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes and Stitcher? Woof girl.
Woof girl.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.